HPPodCraft.com.
The Colossus. Chapter 6, The Horror of Elorn. The chill, malignant fires of twin stars burn in the dark. By degrees, the stars dissolve into the eyes of Nathair, his pale facial features rising from the chaotic murk.
Welcome.
Reveal, Gaspar is seated against a large swath of tapestry, his wrists bound, giant chainmail links hanging around him. His shoulder is bandaged. He blinks, disoriented.
So, Gaspar Dunor has come to see his former master.
Gaspar winces as the necromancer returns to his luxurious low couch, wheezing. Demons and familiars work at the large, luminous vats in the background, drifting to and fro in the shadows.
Nathair, what happened?
What is the last thing you recall?
Istarel, we escaped the woods, the werewolves, we...
Ha! You've forgotten quite a lot. A symptom of the Tarrasque's venom.
Quick flashes of a horrific moat monster attacking.
The Tarrasque?
Let me fill in the gaps for you. You survived the night with your companion in the great lowering forest and were reunited with your sweet brother at his monastery.
Flashback. A crow lands on a crooked tree, observing Bernard as he emerges from the monastery to embrace Gaspar. Bernard holds his brother at arm's length to have a look. He and Istarel are half-naked and tussled.
This is Istarel.
Bernard bows to her. The crow flies away toward Elorn.
No doubt you witnessed his brethren, busy about groveling and shrieking incoherent pleas for protection from the Archfiend.
Bernard leads them into the building, converted into a makeshift military barracks. Monks practice fighting with swords and shields. Badly. Stefan steps up to meet Gaspar, covered in chainmail and war paint, holding a large mace, accompanied by the hunchback.
This is Brother Stefan?
No, just Stefan. One name, no bullshit.
Later, in the chapel, they huddle with Gaspar, who holds up a compact mirror.
I'll use this to communicate the size of the threat to Istarel, but I'm going to confront Nathair alone and try to reason with him. You and the monks are the first line of defense should he refuse to stand down.
We'll be ready.
Stefan cocks his mace. Somehow. Back in the castle of Elorn, Gaspar looks down at his empty belt.
Your possessions are here, with me, including your lady's magic mirror.
You lied to me about Istarel. She's not a monster.
Perhaps. I run a school for young men. One must minimize distractions. But I didn't lie about her deceptive nature. In her culture, one is not allowed to leave the artifactory unless one has found a replacement. Did she tell you that? Or did you think your orphan problem was solved so handily?
Gaspar looks queasy. Nathair holds up the compact mirror.
When one watches from above, it is not difficult to pull the strings. She played you for a fool.
If your looks bear credible witness, you are mortally ill, Nathair. And the time is short in which you can atone for your deeds of malice. What foul and monstrous brew are you preparing? And what have you done with the dead bodies that were stolen by your familiars?
Nathair tosses the mirror off into the castle. It shatters.
You and I have both been engaged in the miracle of creation.
He lifts his arm and the room fills with light. Reveal, Gaspar sits inside of a 100-foot-tall skeleton. The macabre framework is complete in every part, with ribs like arches and great finger bones curving claw-like on the floor. Loose chainmail armor adorns the torso, and Gaspar is seated in the tapestry that bedecks the pelvis. The teeth are set in a cruel grin, the eyes seething with myriad lights as demons creep in and around the skull.
They that came here as many shall go forth as one.
You mean to animate this colossus?
Yes! Yes, I do! You encountered our proof of concept on your way, the Tarrasque.
Flashback. Gaspar emerges from the valley, exhausted by his climb. He sees the rotted drawbridge, the blocks of the barbican, and begins mentally mapping his crossing when... Dust plumes from the moat. Gaspar extends his spear. The Tarrasque roars out through the grimy cloud, a dragon-like beast of 25 feet that moves like a dinosaur, albeit with long primate forearms and a spiky shell along its back. It releases a broken shriek and charges at Gaspar.
I'd prepared a lovely breakfast in anticipation of this spectacle.
We see Nathair on the broken tower far above, sipping tea, munching a croissant, a crow alighting next to him. Gaspar waits as the monster charges him, then drops onto his back at the last moment. He pushes a telekinetic blast at the creature's jaw, forcing its head up to reveal a fleshy pink patch at its throat. Gaspar plants his spear on the ground and rolls away. Squilch! The body weight of the beast drives the spear straight through its throat and head, viscera blasting out in choking spurts. Nathair frowns and throws his cup to the ground.
I'd forgotten how well you memorized the details of my bestiaries. Except for one thing.
Gaspar turns around, proud of himself, just in time to see the tip of the Tarrasque's tail whip-snap into his shoulder. Back in Elorn, Gaspar winces. Blood seeps from his bandage.
So much is made of the fiery breath and the spiky shell of the Tarrasque. Everybody forgets about the poison tail. But as you know, I have a mind for detail. If you had remained with me, Gaspard, and had not drawn back in your petty squeamishness, it would now be your privilege to share in the creation of this prodigy. From the fresh bodies of the dead, which otherwise would have rotted away in charnel foulness, my pupils and familiars are making for me the flesh for this skeleton. I must die soon, it is true, for my doom is written in the stars. But in death, I live again, and shall go forth endowed with mighty thews.
This is madness.
It is no madness, but a veritable thing. My soul, at the death of its present body, will pass into this colossal tenement through the working of certain spells of transmigration. And I shall go forth to visit vengeance on the people of Avaron, who have long hated me for my necromantic wisdom and have held me in derision for my dwarf stature.
Nathair, it was I who lamed you.
Oh?
Flashback to the Vion town square. A loose gathering of angry peasants shout at a younger Nathair, who cowers near the town's central fountain as stones are lobbed in his general direction. A boy, young Gaspar, nods to a couple of chums and lifts a flat, sharp stone from the ground, whipping it at the dwarf. Crack! The stone hits Nathair's knee, causing him to stumble and twist the leg in a sickening direction. He shrieks.
I was a spoiled child. When I came to you for learning, I was also coming to you for redemption.
In the castle.
And like a spoiled child, you walked out when things became difficult.
I refuse to shatter the peace of the grave with your necromancy. There may be no heaven, there may be no hell, but there is peace in death.
You're afraid of the sight of blood. I have broken all laws of man and nature, so allow me to tell you, your plan to travel to the future is impossible. It's a willful fantasy that frees you from admitting you hate these disgusting animals. Foolish, cruel men. Deceitful women incapable of love. Rutting sloths in peacock feathers. Stripping them from the earth will please me to the very bones. It remains only to invest those bones with necrotic flesh and blood.
Nathair claps his hands and red appears, his red hair matted with sweat.
My good Gaspard, there's nothing whatever to be done with you, is there? Except to put you safely out of the way. Providentially, for this purpose, there is an oubliette beneath the castle. A somewhat dismal lodging place, no doubt, but one that was made strong and deep by the grim lords of Elorn.
Red pushes Gaspar into a dungeon room, his hands still bound in front of him. There is a round grate in the floor.
Ah! You don't have to do this. I remember you. I saw your father recently. He spoke of you.
The pupil grabs a long hook and opens the grate.
Oh, so you were at the tavern?
Yeah, it was a tavern. How did you... Oh.
He pushes Gaspar into the oubliette. From below, we see the circle of the opening, the pupil looking down.
Somebody will be along to feed you. Maybe.
The grate closes. Gaspar surveys his narrow prison, 12 feet high, 15 feet in diameter, roughly circular. Snakes slither in the slimy, mephitic pool at his feet. He stumbles back over a moldy human skeleton. The torchlight above fades to black. In the castle, construction of the Colossus nears completion. Bat-like creatures flit between stone vats and the giant skeleton, clothing the feet and legs with a glowing, reddish, plasmatic clay. Nathair, propped up by pillows, has gathered his 10 pupils around his throne. They are clad in satanic scarlet robes.
The flesh, well prepared, finds its new home. As will I, very soon. You, students of the Scholar Mounts, will complete the final litany for this transmigration. Yes. And as your reward, you shall travel with me to dispense wrath and inherit the spoils. Yes. The bastard princes of blasted Avaron!
All hail, Master Nathair!
Once you have completed this repugnant rite and I am reborn as a Colossus, I want you all to climb into that basket over there.
He points at an enormous basket outfitted with a harness, like the gondola of a hot air balloon.
That's for us? That's what that's for?
How do we all fit in there?
I thought we'd be riding the Tarrasque or like in his hands or something.
I shall place you upon my back, and you can throw rocks at people or whatever pleases you. It'll be great. You'll love it.
They seem displeased, but Red steps forward.
It will be our pleasure to ride on your back, Master Nathair.
Oh, not you, Red. What are you up to? You need to stay with Gaspard.
But...
Don't get sneaky. I gave you a job.
Angry, Red storms away. Big Ears sneers at him.
Don't sneer at him, Big Ears. He has important work to do, as do all 9 of you, my dearest students. I wish you farewell, Big Ears, as you attend the passing of this body. Farewell, Narrowhead, Gaptooth, and Limpy. Farewell, Unibrow, and smaller version of Unibrow. Greasy Nose, Chin Divot, keep our secrets. And you, Phil, so nondescript I had to learn your Christian name. Something very difficult for my satanic brain, as I've explained. You're very special as well.
We begin to hear the satanic chanting of the pupils as the demons and familiars pour flesh over the bones of the Colossus. Drums keep pace as the enormous thighs are revealed, the mighty chest, stupendous hands, all glowing with life as the flesh seethes and sculpts itself into place. Giant patchwork tapestries hang from the waist and chest, gleaming rings of chainmail protecting vital areas of the huge body. We see the sleeping face of the monster, seen in profile athwart the pouring moon. Nathair's face, remagnified 100 times, twisted with madness and malevolence. The drums halt suddenly as the last of the large vats is emptied over the Colossus. Its fiery red glow dims. Nathair, surrounded by his kneeling, chanting students, suddenly takes a sharp breath, then collapses. The eyelid of the giant trembles like a great curtain. The outflung fingers, bluish as a row of corpses, twitch. The lungs of the Colossus expand as it comes to life. The eye opens, the hand clenches, the ground rumbles. At the monastery, Stefan and a group of monks crowd around the rooftop as the entire valley shakes. Bernard parts from Istarel to meet the crowd. She opens her compact mirror. Her father's image is within.
I don't yet know the nature of the threat. Gaspard is in there. He...
It doesn't matter. You must return home now. The girl has run away.
The monastery shakes and a monk tumbles over the side, caught by Stefan and pulled back to safety.
I'm not sure there will be a home to return to, Father.
Istarel points the mirror at the dreaded Castle Ilorn. Abruptly, the walls of the castle explode outward, giant blocks of stone flung across the wasteland. The Colossus stands, waist high above the ruins, flames mushrooming from combusting furnaces around his legs. Stefan turns to Bernard.
You said it was an army! That was bullshit too!
Bernard shrugs. Stefan throws down his mace and storms away across the roof as the Colossus turns toward the monastery, shaking out its long, wavy hair against the sun. Chapter 7, The Coming of the Colossus. The cleric walks his small dog in front of the great cathedral of Vion, pausing to look up. A ruby comet scars the blue sky, moving slowly away from the storm clouds gathering in the north.
It is a prophecy of bale and pestilence to come.
The cleric turns to see an old woman next to him with a box of vegetables.
Yes, disastrous portents. My dog's been sick for a week.
He lifts the dog and cradles it.
You're a little too familiar with that thing.
I don't know you.
I thought we were getting friendly.
Well, that wasn't a very friendly thing to say.
It takes a friend to tell you the truth sometimes. We keep dogs around under the table to clean up the scraps and to wipe our hands on their fur, not to cradle like a baby or a lover. That's an unnatural omen right there.
You're an unnatural omen.
The old woman gasps, scandalized, and storms away.
Shh, I know. My life is the worst.
At the monastery, a monk screams as he is trampled to a pulp by a mob of his brothers. The abbot kneels before a cross in his opulent cell, praying. The ground rumbles. He clamors to the window. Outside, the Colossus smashes another wall of the castle as he stumbles into the valley. Monks rush by the abbot's door. Bernard stops to look in.
Father, run away with us!
No, we must be courageous and pray.
The laughter of the Colossus rings out as the ground shakes. Red stumbles into the dungeon with a basket of food. From down inside the oubliette, we see the grate open and the redhead lowering the basket with a rope, holding a torch in one hand.
Gaspard! Here's all your food. To hell with Nether. I'm leaving.
No response. The pupil drops the rope into the hole.
You're on your own. Sorry.
He turns to walk away, and the rope shoots out of the hole, wrapping around his leg like a tentacle. He's pulled into the oubliette with his torch. Outside of the castle, the Colossus lifts the skewered body of the Tarrasque from the moat, crushing the monster, squirting viscera into the air. Its malignant eyes light up at the violence. It laughs, dropping the creature to the ground and setting forth into the valley, gaining confidence with each stride. In the dungeon, Red moans in pain as Gaspar points a slapdash skeleton bone spear at him, the torch in his other hand.
Is there a secret passageway? Huh? A weakness in the walls? Tell me!
No. The whole castle has fallen and this dungeon still stands. I was supposed to wait 3 days and then free you, you fool. Now we're stuck. There's nothing else for your rope to grab onto up there.
What?
He's doing all this for you. You think he didn't know you were the one who lamed him? You tried to make up for a mistake. He admires you, loves you, thinks you're the only one worthy of his gift. I didn't want to believe it, but he told me in a feverish delirium.
This cruelty... for me.
He will slake his thirst for blood, yes. But in his wake, you will have a new world. He knows your stupid plan to travel to the future won't work. He has willed you all of his vast wealth and a blasted kingdom to remake as you wish. A place for your science to take hold. Averone will be yours, Gaspard.
High above the valley, Nathair's devil-ridden pupils hold on for dear life in their basket harness as the Colossus storms toward the monastery, laughing. The monster pauses to pick up a large block of stone from the shattered castle and hurls it. Istarel, Bernard, and Stefan urge fleeing monks through the front door as the building is rocked by the boulder. The Colossus approaches the monastery, looking through a window in the tower. He sees the abbot staring out at him. The abbot falls to his knees, praying. The Colossus laughs, tears an immense rock from a hillside with both hands, and flings it at the monastery. The room caves in and crushes the abbot, blood spraying. Istarel and the monks run clear of the crumbling building. Bernard points to a green spectral glow from the woods.
That's a rare sight.
Crash! Ha! Magnifique leaps out into the clearing at a gallop, powered by swirling emerald energy, Aggie in the saddle.
Aggie.
Come on, Magnifique.
Lightning fast, the horse gallops past them, leaving a trail of jade dust in its wake. Magnifique gallops down the valley toward the Colossus, which watches with glee as the horse loses its footing. Aggie is thrown, she and Magnifique tumbling down the hill. Seeing this, Istarel motions to Bernard and runs.
Stay here.
Stefan steps up to him, looking at the wreckage as the remaining monks flee across the clearing to the woods.
What a waste.
The gardens are still here.
Stefan shakes his head at his friend. Istarel blasts a grappling hook down the slope of the hill into the valley. The rope magically goes taut, and Istarel vaults high into the air across the giant's view. She lands on the valley floor and combat rolls toward the felled horse, which whirs as Aggie attempts to right it. The ground shakes as the Colossus marches toward them. Istarel helps Aggie push the horse upright, seeing a blazing green jewel embedded in its forehead.
You stole this from my father.
The horse bursts to life. Aggie climbs into the saddle.
Sorry, only room for one.
She gallops off, leaving Istarel behind. The Colossus looks down as the horse weaves between its legs. Back at the gardens, Stefan sees Istarel struggling.
We should help her.
She said to stay, and it's hard to take my eyes off these woods.
Stefan turns to see monks running back in their direction. In the valley, Istarel gathers her grappling hook. The Colossus careens toward her. Howling erupts from beyond the monastery. The Colossus looks up to see tribes of fully transformed werewolves charging out of the woods behind the monks. He smiles and forgets all about Istarel. Stefan and Bernard cower as he leaps over the monastery and rushes toward the lupine rabble. The werewolves howl to each other, pointing at the giant. The Colossus laughs and dives forward into the meadow to meet the creatures, like a criminal diving onto a bed covered in cash. They clamber over his body, biting and scratching. He rolls, crushing them, picking them from his hide and dropping them into his mouth, gnashing as they yelp in pain. Back in the dungeon, Gaspar and Red sit together, eating from the basket.
And you know what? I was so focused on how my one childish cruelty led to Nethair building a giant monster, when one small kindness to the Enchanter led to me being saved from werewolves by a demon.
That is so true.
Why am I spending so much time focused on the mistakes I made and not the things I did right?
Same with me. I was ready to give up because I made a bad decision. But look at you.
You don't need necromancy.
I believe it.
Although, I was actually going to ask you, did Nethair ever teach you how to use the spirit of a murdered man to levitate? Like levitate out of a hole. Did he ever show you how to do that?
No.
Gaspard goes back to eating.
Gaspard!
Who's that?
That's another small kindness rewarded. You're lucky.
Gaspard!
Gaspard whistles softly.
You mean we're lucky, right?
In the ruins of Ylorn, a wisp flies past Aggie as she searches through the rubble. She chases after it. It zips down a stairwell. At the monastery, Stefan and Bernard help Istarel to solid ground as she climbs out of the valley. In the meadow, the Colossus climbs to its feet again, dusting the werewolves from its arms and charging into the woods. Smack!
Ow!
Gaspar falls back, rescued from the dungeon and then slapped in the face by Aggie.
I'm sorry.
I've set you free. Now we're even.
I thought it was for the best. I didn't know.
Can you throw the rope down?
My family stayed together, good or bad. That was for the best.
I'm still in here.
I won't leave you again.
Because you need transportation?
Because you are family. Okay?
I've learned a lot too. Help!
Cut to the towering shoulders of the Colossus. Unibrow falls over the side of the rollicking basket on the giant's back, screaming as he plummets into the treetops. The Colossus does not notice as it lumbers through the woods. Big Ears grabs smaller version of Unibrow by the shoulders as the other pupils mosh around in the basket.
Did you throw him over? Did you?
Smaller version of Unibrow only smiles. Magnifique arrives at the monastery gardens, Aggie, Gaspar, and Red all astride the machine.
We have to get back to Vion. The horse can be adjusted to fit more riders. I don't know if you noticed.
Gaspar climbs down and crosses to Istarel as the monks gather.
I can't go back.
In the distance, they see the Colossus pull a huge tree out by the roots and strip the branches.
Istarel, there was a time when I would have left it all to Nathair and run away with you. Probably yesterday. Yesterday I would have done that. But because of you, because of Aggie, because of Red, I want to save Everon.
Who's Red? I'm your brother.
That's actually not my name.
I'm sorry for what I did to you, Aggie.
I got away with some good stuff.
What else did you take?
So Nathair told the truth. Aggie was your replacement.
I used an opportunity to escape, but I love you, Gaspard. The demon was right. We fell in love. But if you do save Aviron, I need to get as far away as I can. My father sees everything.
Gaspar places his hand on Istarel's cheek tenderly. She grasps his hand and they embrace. Cut to the two-bedroom thieves' den of Mr. and Mrs. Daring in the suburbs of Vionne. Mrs. Daring sits at her full-length mirror, brushing her long hair. Mr. Daring paces back and forth behind her.
You know, darling, sometimes I regret all of the thieving we've done.
An image of Jehan appears in the mirror suddenly.
Shh, don't shush me.
The ground rumbles.
Everybody needs to run away. The Colossus is coming. Run, now!
Mr. Daring goes to the window. The Colossus appears in a flash of daytime lightning amidst gathering black clouds. He steps back, shocked.
What do we do?
He turns and grabs her by the shoulders.
I'm sorry for what I said. I don't regret anything. I only wish I could steal your heart away again.
She puts her fingers to his lips tenderly.
Shh.
Rushing out of the clouds, the Colossus lifts his cudgel into the air and smashes it down on the thieves' house, splintering it to pieces. Nathair laughs as thunder crashes and more lightning strikes around him. This is no good. This guy's gotta go.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning into our virtual staged reading of The Colossus, Chapters 6 and 7. The Colossus has been brought to you by HPPodcraft.com, Strange Studies of Strange Stories, with Chris Lackey and Chad Pfeiffer, and is based on the short story The Colossus of Elorin by Clark Ashton Smith. The Colossus was written, directed, and scored by Chad Pfeiffer, with additional audio production by Eric Peabody of Viking Guitar Productions. This episode featured the instrumental version of Blasphemy by Pitch Black Manor. We've got a great cast, and I'm going to tell you all of their names after the next episode, which will be out next month, and this whole thing will be released as a full movie on YouTube for Halloween, so get ready for that, folks. I'm afraid to tell you that all kinds of werewolves are hurt in the making of this production.